and or gone to committee of conference and then gone to the president's desk for signing. There has not been one bill that's made it all the way through in 5 years. And by law, they are supposed to have that done by the 30th of September every year. Now, folks, remember back several years ago, it was originally March 30th. And then, you know, Congress was a little bit lazy and they kept slow. They were too busy doing other things and they wouldn't get it done. So they moved that date to the end of June. Now that date has been moved to the end of September. These congressmen people, and especially the senators, I especially fault the senators because it's in the Senate that they are not pushing through the bill and getting it at least to committee of conference and onto the president's desk so he can either sign it or veto it. That would be a different story. But this one, there's been this work or this attempt to get these things done. And over the years, for the last 5 years, what have they been doing? They've been passing continuing resolutions that fund us for a short period of time. Well, you know, some of you are business owners out there. Do you know how difficult it is to run a business if you only know you have 3 months of appropriations at a time? Aren't you out there trying to get as much ahead as possible so that you can know whether you're going to continue your business or not? And that in itself has a ripple effect. And we can talk about that in a moment. But for 5 years, they've been passing these continuing resolutions. And so this last continuing resolution that came down a week or so ago was without funding Obamacare, because in reality, Obamacare is not even ready to be launched. They haven't written all of the policies, all of the rules and regulations that go along with it. So people don't know how it's going to affect us, but they've been implementing parts of it. It's been a piecemeal type thing. Well, when you don't have a plan and it's not a completely written plan, then it's very, very hard to implement it. And so now what our Congress has been doing is turning around and saying, okay, we'll fund just a little, or we'll fund the whole government for a short period of time and buy ourselves some time. You know, it's kicking the can down the road. To liken it to when I was growing up, I mean, when there wasn't money in the bank, then you didn't do it. But then we came up with this idea that you could, we started buying houses on credit, on loans, basically. We got a loan. We pay so much interest. We'd agreed to doing that so that we could have our house today and we could start to live in it today and do the things we wanted in it today. Instead of doing it the old-fashioned way, which was to save up the money. When you had the money, then you go ahead and buy something. Well, we've now translated that into our everyday wants and needs. Some people were doing it just for the things that would be extra, those discretionary types of things. And then they started doing it to some more things that are more necessary. And now they're doing their groceries on it, their gas, and unless you can pay for it every month, then you really shouldn't be doing it. However, then we started doing not only that, we did our school loans on it, so now we're all living on credit, and our government has been doing exactly the same thing, only now we're getting up against a deficit that we're really up to the max. You know, like if you've got a credit card and it's got a maximum that you can borrow against it of $10,000 and you're up against that barrier, you can call the credit card company sometimes. if your credit's good enough, they will extend your barrier just a little bit further. Okay. So, you do that, and then, when you get up against that barrier, then you can call them again and see if you can't extend it a little bit further. Basically, that is what we are doing in our federal government when they want to extend the debt ceiling. Okay, so we've been extending the debt ceiling and extending the debt ceiling, and now we're saying if we extend the if we don't extend the debt ceiling, then our creditors, China and Germany and all of these people that we have debts with, are going to start saying, uh-oh, you can't pay your debts. We want you to pay them now. And you start to get hyperinflation and all kinds of different things going on. At any rate, that's around the corner, and we can't turn our blind eye to it. But the reality is that if we keep kicking this can down the road, we've got disaster, and somebody else has got, you know, it's like asking somebody else to take care of you, what is really your responsibility. So now we're at the point where we are asking our children and our grandchildren to take on that responsibility. Is that right? I don't think so. But at any rate, that's where we are. So we have a continuing resolution that was basically did not fund Obamacare. Our president said he wasn't willing to negotiate on this. Our Senate president turned around and said, I'm not doing anything with this. We automatically, basically, I don't even think he really held it up for much of a vote. But at any rate, they decided that they weren't going to do that. Oh, back up a little bit on the cloture vote. Had we had the cloture vote fail, we would still be discussing this, and it would not be in this, and partially wouldn't be in the situation it is now. We would still be in a full-out discussion about it. However, it did go to vote. It went back to the House. The House acquiesced and did that little dance of appeasement, and decided that they would send something back that would just delay implementing Obamacare for a year. Oh, no. That we can't have that, said our president and our the Senate president. We can't have that. We're not going to allow that. So it went back to the House again. So the House has decided that maybe they would piecemeal it. Oh, no. We've had four or five of those piecemeal type bills go to the Senate, and the Senate has rejected every one of them. It sounds to me like we've got an administration that absolutely is not going to bend unless they can have their own way. And so they are now no longer in the threat mode. Imagine the bully on the playground. While you're thinking about that bully on the playground, I'm going to take a short break, and we'll be back after a few minutes. This is Karen Testerman on WSMN 1590, Nashua's source for news and talk. And this is Karen Testerman. We're back on WSMN, Nashua's source for news and talk. We hold these truths. Can you tell that I'm sitting here trying to remember what I left you with just before we went to break, and I can't imagine what it was. Oh, I know what it was. I was telling you that to imagine the bully on the playground, you know, that bully that comes up and is constantly taunting you and taunting you and taunting you. And, you know, you turn around and you give them what they want. You back off. You don't go anywhere with them. And they keep pushing you and pushing you. You give them a few inches and they keep coming a little bit closer, a little bit closer, until finally you turn around and you stop, and then they start shoving you. Well, that's where we are, folks. We're at that stage right now where our government has our president and his cohorts who support Obamacare are not listening to the American people who are saying, we can't afford this, number one, or his own staff who's saying, we can't implement this because we don't have everything together, number two. And they're at this point where they're just shoving you and saying, we're going to have our way. So what they're doing is they're finding points that are going to enrage us to the point where we maybe will take a swing. And maybe we should take a swing. All I know is that when, through my experience, when the bully on the playground is there and you keep letting them encroach on your territory, they keep coming until they make you their slave. Well, if you turn around and say, absolutely not, here's my line in the sand, you've now gone over, and they start pushing you and you turn around and you push back, then they start cowering. And if you throw that punch, guess what? Most of the time, the bully on the playground goes home because they really don't want to fight. So it's time that we, as Americans, they are encroaching on our rights. Another case in point. Up in Alton, the school board decided that they were not going to institute Common Core because of the backlash from the parents. People were saying in the community they didn't want it. The people don't want it. Guess what? They voted it down and said, we're not going to implement it. Applause, applause, applause for the school board in Alton, who decided that they were going to listen to their constituents. And then along comes a school superintendent who has now, from my understanding, has now said, we've already purchased the books, we've already started implementing the program, we are going to use Common Core. It is a state-sanctioned program. So what happened to the citizens? What happened to the parents? They just walked all over the rights of the people in Alton. Are we going to stand and let them do that? I think it's time we really examine what are we going to allow and what are we not going to allow. In California, they just passed a law where they have categorized certain firearms with a certain size magazine as assault rifles and are no longer allowed in California. So that's another law against the people, infringing upon our rights, infringing upon our constitutional rights. Are we going to allow that? What are we going to do about it? Are we going to remain silent? Are we going to decide that it's easier to stay at home and maybe read that latest novel that we'd like to? Or are we going to write a letter to the editor? Are we going to call our congressional delegation? Are we going to call our local school board? Are we going to call our local citizen, city committee members? What are we going to do? What can we do? We can let our voices be heard. We can talk to our neighbors and find out what they think as well. We can let people know what's going on. We can get on. You can pick up the phone and call us at 816-0019 and join in the conversation here. We can write letters to the local newspapers. There's many things. We can go out and walk into the congressman's offices and say, what's going on? Why are we doing this? Why are we letting this dictatorship? This is what our founding fathers fought against. They fought so that we would have the freedom and the liberties to have our own private thoughts, our own conversations, our own be able to, you know, make decisions on and work hard or decide not to work hard. But they were our decisions. They were what our founding fathers fought for, our freedoms to live without being taxed, without representation. We are being taken over at this point, and through little innuendos. If we let things like this go by, the next thing is going to be bigger. You know, Rafael Cruz, Ted Cruz's father, came over here from Cuba, just like many of, almost all, of our original first settlers in this country, whether you came in the 1600s and the 1700s, the 1800s, or even in 2000. If you've come to this country from another country and immigrated legally, many of these people did exactly that. They came here because they left an area that was so distasteful to them. He left Cuba when Castro was rising. And by the way, Castro was rising with a message of hope and change. At any rate, Rafael Cruz came here with $100 sewn in his underwear to America to escape the oncoming dictatorship of Fidel Castro. When you listen to Pastor Cruz talk, he says, I came to America because that was a refuge place. But where will we go? Where will we go for our freedoms if America collapses? It's up to us. We have to start letting our voices be heard. We have to be that sleeping giant. Are we now going to rise up and say, this is enough, enough of this? We can't take this anymore. And how do you do that? You go out there and it occurs at the next election. And we've got one coming up in 2014. And hopefully we'll still have enough freedom so that we can go to the polls. But I'm wondering even now if we're going to be able to do that. I had hoped that Ed Nail was going to be in here today to tell you what his latest discoveries are on voter fraud. And yes, voter fraud does occur. Yes, there is documentation of it. And despite what little cover-up is being done by those in authority, it is occurring. You have to not be thinking if you have two documents side by side that show black and white that this person voted in New Hampshire and voted in Virginia, or that this person is registered in New Hampshire and registered someplace else. I mean, they came in on a same day registration. It boggles my mind to think that there were almost 100,000 same-day registrants, people who had never voted before in New Hampshire who are legally domiciled here, out of 718,000 people who voted in our last election. Something doesn't add up. When you have, in Ohio, when you have a community where more people voted than live in the community, does that not make your head sort of make some question marks? It's up to us, folks. We have to stand up and get involved. I mean, that means that we have to get out of our comfort zone many, many times and get informed. Start looking for the primary source documents. Don't just take my word for it. Don't just take the word of the newspaper article or what you find on the internet. See if you can't get down to the primary source and find out if it's not true. And there's some issue that I know you are impassioned about, some issue that really drives you. For me, at one point, it was the education of my children. And I started looking at what was coming into their sphere as far as their what were they seeing, what were they hearing, what were they being taught at school? Who are they hanging out with? All of those things are our responsibility as parents to oversee, because we take this infant from birth when they know nothing of the world and they're not capable of doing much other than saying, I'm hungry, I need to be changed, and I want to sleep. We take that infant through a series of processes that develop them into hopefully contributing citizen to the community. And so in that process, part of our oversight responsibility is what goes on at school, what they're taught at school. So, you know, that was what I was looking at when I got impassioned about looking at, I started hearing about outcome-based education. And then I found somebody else who was hearing about it as well. And they said, oh, by the way, there are all these other people that are looking into this. Let's get together and we'll start investigating more and more. Let's get some of the primary source documents. So we got a copy of outcome-based education, and we put it side by side with a communist manifesto, and we started going through it section by section by section, educating ourselves and making sure that we understood what we were seeing. And once we did that, then we turned around and we said, okay, it's time for us to start lobbying and seeing if we can stop it from coming into the state of New Hampshire. And we did. We successfully educated the public and successfully educated the State Board of Education, and we were successful in turning down that Goals 2000 at that time. Now, we didn't stop it from totally coming into the state, but we made more people aware of what the federal intention to oversee all curriculum, and that is what Common Core is at this point. We have to start realizing that it's not the government's place, not federal government's place anyway, to tell us how our children should be educated. Those people that know best how our children should be educated are those people that are living with those children, that see what they do from day to day. They know what's missing in their education. They know what needs to be done. And they, together with the other people in their communities, are the ones that should be saying what standards should our schools be achieving, and who should be teaching it. And they should have the right and the power to hire and fire the teachers that are going to educate their children. And when we get back into that kind of a situation, guess what? There's going to be more discipline in the classroom, because the teachers are going to be empowered by the parents. The parents are going to be much, much more involved than they are today, because they won't be held hostage by our government, that they cannot any longer be influential on their children. So what started all of this, my friends, is the situation in Washington, D.C., where the government has taken authority over the World War II memorial that was privately funded and brought into being. And we had World War II veterans that were there, flown specially, 90-year-old men flown specially to go have some remembrance and some honor. And our federal government is deciding that they are going to infringe upon their ability to enjoy. This is a travesty. I ask you to please get involved. Please let somebody else know. This has been Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths. On Monday, we will have in online with us James Taylor. James Taylor has some very definite ideas about global warming and the report that has just been released by the UN, and we'll have a chance to talk to him about that. This is Karen Testerman with We Hold These Truths on WSMN 1590. Have a great weekend.